Welcome back to another episode of the Knee Slapping K-Pop Podcast. I'm Sammy. With me today is Kayla.
Hello.
And Maria.
I'm Blue Dabba Dee Dabba Die. Dabba Dee Dabba Die.
And just so you know, this is our second time recording because we deleted the audio.
My audio
so
disappeared
you know what?
Into the ether.
Yeah,
the first
Kayla's
time.
Audio got fucked in translation.
I don't know
somehow.
Where the fuck it went. So here we are for
you
round
what?
Two of the same episode. Yeah.
Round two.
It happens.
Same stories, different day. We're doing your Reddit opinions because you know what? Fuck you.
Your opinions fuck are you. Interesting, and it's great
you know
to
what?
Make
this
content
is the fourth
out
episode
of.
I've recorded tonight.
Fourth episode. Here we go.
I'm exhausted.
Fourth episode in a row. I don't know if we have a big enough audience for this, but I wonder if we were to open a poll and have like our people who listen to this submit unpopular opinions, if we would get enough to make something out of that.
I mean, I think we could get something
if we just ask some
of our friends too.
We could ask some
but
of
yeah.
our friends for them. Yes, but
yeah.
I feel like that would also be a nice twist
That'd
on this episode,
fun.
Too.
It would be.
Yeah, that would be a fun time for...
That'd be a cute future one to try.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put that up.
I think we'd get
after
a couple.
The Unpopular Opinions episodes come out, I'll put up a poll and... So everyone be on the lookout for that. If you have any unpopular opinions you want to submit to us, here's the chance to get them in.
Here's a chance to get us to react to your unpopular
exactly,
opinions.
Exactly.
And we won't be as mean as we are to random strangers on Reddit.
No, because if we know you listen to the podcast, it will be a little bit nicer.
But also, if you listen to the podcast, I'm very curious
yes,
what you think.
Because you know how, because if you listen to us, you know how we are. And how,
mm-hmm. yeah.
how we are generally with the negativity, how we love to bring the negativity because the community craves it.
The community craves it.
You'll understand that next week.
Although yeah, I don't try to often wallow in negativity, I will express my opinions, whether it's
right.
good or bad.
The community craves the negativity.
Well, just having opinions is sometimes negativity for the K-pop
apparently.
Community.
Yeah,
apparently.
How dare you have a different thought than the rest of the high mind, my All god.
Right. All right,
let's
so
get this over with.
We gotta Anyways. Start it off.
A second time.
Yes, for the second time. So our first...
Part two.
Our first unpopular opinion from Reddit... /from/unpopular K-pop opinions. We have K-pop groups should just stay disbanded, say they're disbanded when they are. So this is because many groups go on indefinite hiatus after leaving the company, and it just drags fans along the way in hopes for more group activities instead of them being able to focus on solo activities. And apparently a lot of K-pop fans prefer to not hear a group is officially disbanded, even if they function as essentially a disbanded group.
Even when all the members are in different
companies. All the members
yeah.
are in different companies.
Well, it's
the,
pretty
the
obvious.
The company has just decided to wait
yeah.
5 years before they yeah. officially disbanded group, you know?
Yeah, it's
and
like,
then everyone else has already debuted as soloists, is off right. in like different countries at this point.
Yeah, they're
like,
all just doing
took,
their own thing and everyone's in denial because they're all
so
in their 30s
and
they want escapism.
Like, it's crazy. But yes,
yeah.
I agree. They definitely should just
I'm
disband.
Curious as to why, but like at this, I don't know why at this point. Maybe it's the company owning the rights to the name don't want to say they're disbanded for some reason, even though they're not making that much of a profit now that they're gone and
it
elsewhere,
just feels
but who knows.
Like everyone gave up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By that point, everyone is just, we're tired, we're done. I think everyone's also hoping for, like, a Brave Girls style, like, well, their song's number one, bring them back!
Right.
Pay them as
just
much
in,
money as you need,
just
go,
in case
go, go!
Something magically happens like that.
Just in case someone Brave Girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're rolling back on the charts, if possible.
Even
know.
Though Brave Girls never, like, disbanded, or even went on an indefinite hiatus, they were consistently
They
working.
Were just around, yeah.
True.
You know who should Brave Girls...
Who?
You know who'd be a really good group to Brave Girls? Laboom.
Laboom, yes.
Yeah.
Laboom would be a really good group to Brave Girls.
Yes.
You'll hate those now a single mother of three, so that's not gonna happen for
and
her.
She wouldn't be
I
involved.
Think, well,
she left
split,
before the
I
last
think,
incarnation.
I think they at least split custody, so there's something there.
Least, yeah. True. He's also then a single father, but
yes.
also she wouldn't, I don't think, because usually the person that left before the group ended doesn't get to come back.
Right,
so I don't think
right.
she gets to come back.
Right, like, Hoya doesn't get to come back to Infinite, like, in the way
exactly.
that their in current Infinite is, so.
Yeah. It just feels like there's something else going.
Yeah.
Thing, but, like, they'd be a good group to Brave Girls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great.
All right.
Next one.
Second opinion.
it's not really correct that other groups are benefiting from BTS's lack of abstinence from the industry. Essentially, it's like, you know, the idea, essentially the person was saying that they is saying that the idea that BTS are blocking or stopping other groups from achieving things is essentially stupid, mainly because it's not logical, and that there were groups bigger than BTS before they rose, and that didn't stop BTS from becoming big themselves, you know, and essentially no one's taking BTS place. No one probably will end up taking BTS place. If not, it probably won't. It will probably be, you know, a freak situation like last time. And, it, you know, the person felt the comments, you know, were just shady, and they take away credit from groups that are working hard for every accomplishment. And it feels like a negative extension of BTS paved the way with implied bitterness. And yeah,
I mean, there is a lot of implied bitterness.
Yeah, there is so much.
Mainly because so much it was such a thing that they're like, well, BTS has taken all the spots on the charts.
Yeah.
BTS has taken all the music show wins.
No, yeah, maybe it's because they're really fucking popular. Here's a and thought.
Like, here's the thing. When BTS is gone, that doesn't mean that all the people that like BTS are just, going to replace BTS with someone else.
Like, sure, they'll get older and probably have other interests over time and other responsibilities, but...
that, like, BTS is going to get replaced with fucking Stray Kids in my heart.
BTS is in the military right now. And the BTS fans are, they're not here. The BTS fans aren't all of a sudden going to decide to become Stray Kids fans now. No. Like, that's not how that works.
To use a phrase I used in the last episode that I absolutely love that I don't know where it came from, your faves aren't faving.
Your faves aren't faving.
The fave aren't faving.
I don't know what that came from.
I don't know what it means either.
Your faves aren't faving. They aren't, like,
you sure you don't want that to be the new tagline?
No. The, we crave up, craves the negativity.
Crave the negativity and the faves aren't faving.
And the faves aren't faving. We should just put quotes in all the corners
just
of the banner.
Just gonna add, like, really tacky quotes to the banner.
Are you not entertained? After all, Butler in the corner? Just being
we
like,
we can't put trademarked quotes. They have to come from our, they have to not make any sense.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And just come from our own brains. Yes, yes. But, like, generally speaking, look, your faves aren't faving. No one is, BTS was out here thriving.
Yep.
Who's thriving now? Nobody's thriving now. BTS's popularity doesn't immediately go into osmosis to whoever stands the closest.
Yeah, it's just not how it works.
Wait, write that shit down. That's good. Wait, say that again, Sammy. Holy fuck, that was good.
What did I say?
Something about osmosis.
Oh, BTS's popularity doesn't immediately transmit through osmosis to whoever stands the closest.
Yeah, period. That quote that period. Shit, too. That's good. Okay.
Thank you.
I took the words right out of my mouth. But, like, no, seriously, BTS, it was a freak thing, especially from being from, at the time,
not
a very small
that.
Company, now becoming a large corporation.
But
that doesn't happen to most people.
Not just that. Yeah. But to be popular, you gotta have two things. Luck
and
talent. You need a lot of luck.
A lot of luck.
And, like, lightning doesn't strike twice.
Yep.
Never does, usually.
Not usually.
Mostly.
But for the most part, like, it does... Look, the group that has come closest to BTS is Blackpink, and Blackpink did it while BTS was still around.
Yep.
Yes.
Your faves need to just shine brighter. Sorry, not sorry.
Yep.
Be better.
Your faves aren't faving.
Your faves
aren't
faving. Just saying.
Yep.
Moving on. The westernization of K-pop complaints are unserious and ignorant.
Yes.
Basically,
this is stupid.
Saying,
this is stupid. These people saying this are really fucking stupid. I don't know what else to say.
Not the person saying that those complaints are unserious and ignorant.
Okay,
the
not
saying,
my own. Not Mount Coyote. Mount Coyote, you're cool.
We agree with
get
this
it.
Person.
Mount Coyote. Mount_Coyote_7011.
We agree.
You are correct.
We're on
we
the same page.
Mount Coyote,
also,
we agree with you.
Love the way you wrote this. Absolutely love it.
Yes.
Because essentially it's saying that people who are main complaint is that K-pop is too westernized.
It's like, bitch,
shit, because
so
that
Taiji,
is correct.
Westernized
everything
music.
Everything
right
about
there.
K-pop
right fucking
at
there.
Its core is westernized because that is what... Because it is based on pop music.
And that's, like,
it
been
the
foundation
the of pop music.
Since the early 90s. Holy
and
shit.
At its core, it is... They go on to say that, like, the everyone acts dramatic saying they got into K-pop for the K. The K is... And not for whatever westernized things are coming out. Guess what? The K is basically the regional twist that they're adding to what is at its baseline.
I mean, I got in for the production shit.
Go to pop music.
And the whole picture.
But here's the thing. Go into pop music in many other countries. They have their own regional flavors. But the pop, a lot of it sounds the same because that is just trends that are more globalized than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. And at its core, I do think that, like, what some people are possibly saying is one of two things.
They don't like pop music. They don't like Western pop music. And it's fine to not like recent K-pop because it sounds like Western pop music.
They don't like current Western pop music. Because they why wasn't, say, like, second gen? And I'm like, second gen sounded like what pop music sounded like in, like, 2015.
Yes.
You can't pigeonhole a genre. K-pop should not sound like it did 10 years ago. That would be so stale if nothing changed.
Exactly. If your reasoning for not liking the quote-unquote westernization of K-pop is for any reason that's not, I don't like current Western pop music and how it sounds, it's like, very pick-me and also very, like, Korea buoy. It's like,
it is.
It's, you just want to like K-pop because it's, like, different. And not in you English. Don't like it now that it's more mainstream and other people like it. The fact that other people like it is somehow,
To be fair, I liked it because it was a different take on pop music, but it was still nonetheless pop music and I heard the influences, you know?
You have to accept that at some point, it is a twist on what you are already listening to in your own country.
Yeah. And that's why you like it. It's a different flavor.
You cannot have the upper hand that it's like, well, it's not pop. I'm like, it is K-pop.
And just to put it out there too, because I think we didn't mention this last time, but the big thing is the amount of boy and girl groups, something that we had seen in the past, but just, you know, when it got bigger, just wasn't as common then. So it was a twist in that sense too, with like, all these boys and girls groups existing.
Well,
being a thing.
That,
totally different,
like,
than what we were used to.
Look at the 10-year... Look at, like... Again, now you have all these different aspects of K-pop and all this other stuff, and it's just, like... It's, at its core, all based on the boy groups and girl groups of the early 90s and an evolution from there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is taking cultural influences from Western pop music, which Western pop music is also taking cultural influences from other places, and it's just a whole hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Music is music. You either don't like current Western pop music, which is fine, but then don't say you just don't like K-pop getting westernized because it always has been.
Right.
Or two, the other option is you don't like the direction that current group is heading, and that's also fine. But don't attribute that to them getting too westernized, because they've always been westernized. They're a K-pop group.
And newsflash, the producers that make the music for these groups, they have a lot of influence. Maybe
also,
you don't like the way the group sounds is because you don't like the producer that would made the title track for the latest comeback.
Again, unless this group was at one point a trot group that somehow started making noise music.
Yeah.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
They were always Western influence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just saying. It is what it is. You may not like the direction they're heading, and that's perfectly valid argument.
Right.
But don't say it's because they're becoming Westernized. They always were.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad argument.
Mm-hmm.
Get better arguments.
Yeah, it's like, there are a lot of valid arguments you can say to something surrounding this, but this, like, the one that is so popularly thrown out there is, like, very, it's like, you don't look good saying it, like.
Absolutely not. I think I become saltier the more tired I get.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, it makes sense.
Moving on.
Yes.
Moving along.
NMIX
should do a mixed pop, city pop, innocent concept.
No. Like, the answer is no.
Just no. Let's shut it down now.
Main reason why, I love city pop. I'm the biggest city pop supporter. I'm a slut for it, but it should not be NMIX doing
not
it.
NMIX.
That is not the group designed to do city pop concepts.
So the person
maybe as a special stage for like a Gayo Daejeon, sure. But like
sure,
as a mainstream concept, no.
I mean, here's the thing. This person will use Lilac by IU as a city pop example. And my thought is that is the least NMIX song that's ever NMIXed.
Yeah.
I don't even want them to do that as a cover because I think it'd be uninteresting.
So the things I'm getting from the person who wrote this is that they would just like a group to do city pop music and just threw out NMIX as like Sure.
An option.
As an option. They just, yeah. Because Yukiko is apparently on indefinite hiatus because she is, like,
I think she retired from the industry. Yeah. She's married. She may be pregnant with a kid now.
So they just want more city pop. And sure, I guess. But also, they compare NMIC's concept to Red Velvet, as in they can do all genres. And I think that NMIC's, like, whole concept is a, like, and what they can do well is a lot more, it's like less than Red Velvet. It's like they have a narrower concept range than you would think. Because yes, they've done a wide range of songs, but I feel like it's definitely not nearly as diverse as something like Red Velvet does.
I think that there are, you have the Red and the Velvet side for Red Velvet. And people are like, well, they can do both of like that. And I'm like, no. I think a subunit of NMIX could do what is the equivalent of like the Velvet side of Red Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
I think a subunit could do it, and I think they could do it quite well if you get the right girls in it. I think overall group NMIX would not do it well.
Right.
I think it wouldn't work for all of them.
And sure, they've done different songs. Like, they haven't even been a group that long, but they have done a wide range of songs. They all do fit into, like, a kind of specific NMIX concept, though. It's like, yes, they sound different, but concept-wise, I feel like they are much closer than this person thinks they are.
Again, I also think the innocent concept is, like, turning around and being
not
like,
for NMIX.
NMIX, be A-Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the answer is, they're not.
They're not A-Pink.
You also can't put a group that's getting into a groove and then 180 their concept like that and be like, well, now you're not that group anymore.
Right.
Now, again, I just keep saying, now you're G-Friend. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you doing this to them? Let them be who they are.
Yeah. And this person is throwing out Cool Your Rainbow as the song, like, idea for, they have the looks and vibes for an innocent concept. And I'm like, that song is not the same as the other songs they're throwing out. Like, it is it's different than what they think it is, I'm pretty sure.
Again, I do think that, like, NMIX could possibly do, like, a more chill version of their own concept.
Right.
If that's what this person's, like, looking for, is, like, take a little bit of the intensity down a little bit. Because I do think, like Run for Roses, that came out as, like, a pre-release,
mm-hmm.
it's not as intense as, like, your, I don't know, Love Me Like This or something like that. And I do think it would work, but, like, it still is NMIX.
Yeah.
You can't just strip everything of NMIX and then be like, well, go.
Right, right.
I think the closest you could get is Party O'Clock. And even then,
yeah,
it has, like, I wouldn't call that innocent.
Party O'Clock and Roller Coaster are definitely not in the same realm of innocent city pop that I think this person wants, yeah.
I think they saw those and were like, well, maybe just tweak it and make it city pop. And I'm like, once you tweak it, I think you lose NMIX.
Yeah.
Their personality.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Next.
Maria?
Next one is a G-Idol is heavily discredited. Basically, a person is saying that G-Idol has been constantly overlooked for their achievements. Most people believe that the top three fourth-gen groups are IVE, NewJeans, and The Seraphim. Although the three groups have had outstanding achievements, G-Idol deserves their place up there. They have had three consecutive releases, earned multiple POCs, racks. Queenie Card was the most viewed fourth gen music video last year, and I also imagine Tomboy was also very popular as well. Constantly overlooked and is quite disheartening as an alt of the group. Trying to say that the songs have strong messages out of any of their competitors, you know, all that jazz, talking about Tomboy, talking about. But since G-Idol released Nude, the search results in SK have changed to their song and not young girl nude content. Queen Card is an empowering anthem and reminds people that no matter what, they're the Queen Card, they're, you know, they don't feel insecure, blah, blah, blah.
Look, here's the thing. One, I don't think this person knows how generations work because they said that G-Idol is a great fourth-gen K-pop group. Sure.
We're thinking, if they are fourth gen, they're it's really early fourth gen. But
super early.
And these other groups are borderline fifth gen.
And fifth gen.
They're cusping on fifth gen.
Also, I don't again, I don't think you can put them in this categorization because
they can't be compared to each other. No, at all.
Because they are more in league with white, like Twice and groups of the legacy groups. They're a legacy.
Yeah, they're gonna hit like 7 years soon anyway. So
they're a contract renewal next year. Like they're established group.
I truly think that this, because also you have to realize that G-Idle's they were always popular, but they're like. Increase in popularity happened late in their career.
Yeah, happened after Sujin left and when Tomboy was released.
After a whole Oath situation.
Yeah, that one got crazy. Well,
it happened later in their career. Yeah. As opposed to the... And also, when you talk about what are the top 4th gen / 5th gen girl groups, you are looking at the future.
Yeah.
G-Idol, unfortunately, is not the future.
No.
Not the, pretty much. They are the maybe past. They were at a point,
they are
but they're not anymore.
Going to be the past.
Yeah, they will.
Well, the same, it's the same thing with, like, saying that, like, well, Twice is still up there as, like, a very popular girl group.
Right.
Consistently. They're not up in the most popular because they're at this point a legacy group.
Right.
Yeah.
Once you hit a certain age, you are not, unless you overcome, like, boy groups are a completely different story because they are legacy in a very different way.
Yeah.
Because they have an established, like, their physical sales and everything else. I think you have to separate boys and girl groups at this point in that kind of conversation. But in terms of girl groups,
yeah,
G-Idle's legacy group.
And they're saying, mm-hmm. I have New Jeans this year from the top three groups. G-Idle's number four. Like, so they're upset that they're the fourth most popular girl group.
Or, you know, K-pop. They could just, like, all coexist.
Yeah.
And just
also,
exist.
At the same time, when you're talking about this, I think you're talking about more than just music.
Yeah.
G-Idle does have a strong impact with their music. But when you're talking about Ivy, Seraphim, and New Jeans, you're talking beyond that. You're talking with, like, connections. You're talking with, like, overall cultural and, like, public perception and, like, beyond the music, their cultural impact, which, again, is at a moment-to-moment basis, not over time.
Right.
Because by that logic, if you're talking about over time, should, I don't know, girls' generation still be there?
Right.
Probably.
Like, you have to look at the current time.
And also, and, like, G-Idle's an old enough group where all of those members have, like, a lot of individual activities going on, and the members of G-Idle are distinctive enough that all of those successes that they've had, you're just contributed to themselves, and they don't have to be contributed back to G-Idle as a whole, whereas these other groups don't have as much of that yet, and so a lot of the individual things that they do is still attributed to more so the group as a whole rather than the individuals.
And at the same time, I also don't think it's fair to compare a, what, max 3-year-old K-pop group to an almost 7-year-old K-pop group.
Yeah.
It's not a fair comparison, and I think that it would be incorrect.
Yeah.
I think that you're just dealing with, what this person's dealing with is, I think that they are upset that G-Idle never got to be the new shiny girl group.
Right.
Even though they kind of were when they debuted, they but I guess were. That they were maybe overshadowed a little bit by, like, your Blackpinks and all that. They were never the new shiny girl group, and I'm like, yeah, fair enough. But not everyone gets to be that.
Right, and then they,
not everyone gets to be Twice.
And that's due to the delayed success that they had, too. It's like, they were fine with, and, like, a girl group, but they weren't the big girl group. They didn't become the big girl group until about 3 years into their career, 3-4 years into their career. And had to go through a massive scandal in the middle of that as well. And, like, I get, like, wanting them to be more popular, but it's just not a fair comparison, and they are very, like, I feel like they're not discredited for anything they do. They're very popular.
Feels...
They have a lot of achievements still.
Yeah, I just think that this person's complaints are not, I don't think they're expressing them correctly.
No.
Because I think that they're doing the wrong comparisons.
Yeah.
And I can understand frustration, but at the same time, G-Idle's doing fine.
They're fine. They are. This is like the when we keep going back to the,
this
our
is their
group
goodbye
was
tour.
Horribly mistreated and, like, relax.
Oh, dear God. If someone else here being like, G-Idle was horribly mistreated.
Yeah.
Dear God. That's the day I give up. I just give up.
Yeah.
I leave. Alright. Next. Produce 101 was a lot stricter about visuals than Produce 48. Essentially,
wrong.
What they're incorrectly saying.
Reverse.
is that. Incorrectly saying. Is that people focused so much on the visuals of Produce 101, such as, Yoon Jung and Soyeon, and Soo Yeon, sorry, and no one cared about the visuals in Produce 48 because apparently the girls on Produce 101 were more conventionally, like, attractive to Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As opposed to the members of IZ*ONE, which is not true.
This is essentially opposite. Not true. Like, this is, it is the opposite. Actually the opposite situation happened.
Yeah. Honestly,
there are multiple especially people by on how Produce it was 48 ranked, how the who results in that were ranked. Group yeah. for only visuals and nothing else yes. other than visuals.
How that group multiple. Was ranked? Yeah.
Again, I also think that this person is correct that, like, specifically.
Like, we didn't bully people for being ugly and so young in Produce 48. True. Yes.
But, like, specifically that Yoon-jung and So-yeon in So-yeon in IOI were extremely mistreated for their looks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was only them.
Yeah, and
we... And that felt more like a personal right. issue about them.
And then in Produce 48, we didn't bully people for being ugly in that way. Which is, no. I also think there was a big shift in K-pop in between 2016 and 2018, too. So I feel like that was just, like, not a thing that people did anymore.
Again, I think this person's equating... Because when I think that they're being more strict on visuals with Produce... With IOI, to me it means that, like, they were more strict about only putting visuals in that group, mm-hmm. and that was way more in 48.
Oh, so yeah. much
as
more.
Opposed to so much more in 48. Produce 101, where I think that they were more free to just be, just have whoever, man, yeah. whoever.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And also, truly I feel like part of Produce 48 also with having half of them being from Produce 48, and I feel like visuals are AKB 48. I feel like visuals are a huge importance in AKB 48 to begin with. I feel
absolutely.
Like that's almost exclusively how they cast people in AKB 48 is for visuals in some way. So everything about Produce 48 just feels like it relied so much more heavily on visuals than Produce 101 the original did. So I don't understand it at all.
It's absolute. This opinion absolutely makes no sense.
It's a completely opposite day opinion.
Yep. All right. Next.
Yeah. God. All right. The best K-pop group of all time will always be its first. Essentially saying so, Taeji and the boys will always be the best K-pop group of all time. And they are very strong opinionated on this, where they say, I don't understand how this is an unpopular opinion. But it's crazy.
Influence does not equal quality.
Yeah.
Just saying.
There's a lot that can be said about the influence of Sotaeji and the boys. Like, that's not anything to argue with. Like, yes, they were very influential. But to say they are the best group that's ever existed and will always be the best group that ever existed.
I think you could ask Sotaeji the man. And one, I would think Sotaeji would be like, I'm not K-pop.
Yeah.
First off. And second off, I don't think he would take the title of the best K-pop group of all time.
No.
Because I do think that, like, it's primitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Again. It's the first. Again, like, probably the most influential in terms of the modern K-pop sound. Sure. But, like, in terms of quality of music.
Quality?
Very debatable and also depends on people's tastes, too, as well. So.
But, like, this person's so convinced. So convinced that I'm like, damn, lady, relax.
Relax. You gotta relax.
Relax. Alright. Next.
Next.
Maria.
Next on our lovely dovey list is that JYP's performance at the Blue Dragon Awards was good, / K-pop stans should stop bullying him. I will this tell you right now, that was a cringe fest. The actors hated that shit. Even he butchered the Eurythmics. He butchered Sweet Dreams.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Also, I was raised on Sweet Dreams. He butchered that shit. That was not good. Well, I was raised on Sweet Dreams.
The man is a bad singer.
Oh my god.
The man really
sings on his own hits.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the first thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And two, look. To be honest, the actors looked like they thought they were on a prank show.
Yeah, and Dio, like,
is there a camera?
It looks distressed. Dio is so distressed.
I thought he was having... Look, at some point, I'm like, JYP's getting up there in ears. Is he having a stroke?
Right? It's like, well, they were just genuinely confused on what they were watching.
I was, too. It just felt like, what? I mean, this is rage bait, obviously. Yeah. I'm not going to give it the time of day. But, like, I just want to continue to make fun of JYP. Yes,
JYP did a bad job and he should feel bad about it. Like,
yes, he should.
He should feel bad.
And, like, no, I don't feel bad for bullying a very wealthy man.
Very wealthy in a position man of power. Who continues to make very creepy music at the age that he is. So I will continue to bully him. Thank you very much.
Yep. Rise, Sungchan, and Shotaro are lucky to not have debuted in NCT.
Correct.
Essentially, this person agrees with the rest of us, because apparently they watched that new NCT show, which,
that was
again,
clearly set up for
two.
Sungchan and Shotaro to be on in the first place.
I know. I thought it was just us two, Kayla, to be
honest.
I know,
really, it was not a well, like, it was not a widely watched show.
No, it felt like it was just us two.
It felt like SM Entertainment was trying to hide it from the public.
They were. I had to pay for
gotta,
Vicky for that.
It's gated
through
Vicky,
Vicky
Premium.
Like, Vicky Premium Premium. The highest Vicky tier, which I already had, so thank God for that. But, no. They're saying that they realized that they would have been better suited in a new group, not as essentially NCT C team.
Yeah.
Which is what NCT Wish is going to be. Because again, I think they're a, again, they call
them a throwaway. I don't think anyone cares about NCT Wish.
No. They're a throwaway Japanese subunit that's not going to be as popular as 127 that has already debuted in Japan.
Right.
Will be.
Yep.
And you know, they're just five more kids to the SM stable. To the SM NCT stable.
Yep, yep.
Like horses.
They do at multiple times call it a stable. It is that NCT.
Honestly,
then again, what is what
I
they
have
are.
On I have in my personal life at multiple
I know,
times
so
called
it's like
NCT
they
a
also
stable.
Know they get it.
I think it's just what else can you call them?
It's what it is. There's too many of them. It's going. It's, there's too much. It's just SM Entertainment trying multiple times to have their rotational graduation system boy group like for the third time and
that
it not
they
working
ever wanted.
Out.
That they always
that
wanted.
They always wanted and will never have because it's a bad idea. Nope. Like, we have to learn from our mistakes at some point in time, SM Entertainment, for the love of God.
And look, to be honest, it helped both groups. Because I don't think that Rise has the popularity it has now if they don't have Sungchan and Shotaro to at least give them an in.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't think Sungchan and Shotaro
They're,
do
they
enough
aren't
to
enough.
Make NCT
yeah.
Wish worth it.
100%. So it's better for everybody, essentially.
Except my sanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
Moving on.
Moving on. Newer fourth gen boy groups are kind of bland.
Wrong.
So they
no,
the ones
right.
they,
no,
the groups they've checked out, this person has said Zero Base One, Zykers, Rise, Boy Next Door, Zodiac, The Wind, and TNX. They said they have no spice and everything feels toned down. And what you realize the longer you read the post, because the only one they've enjoying is Zykers, this person just doesn't like noise music.
Yeah.
No, this person
they
only
likes
noise
music.
Music.
They don't like they like noise music and they want more groups to be doing noise music, but fourth, fifth gen K-pop is not noise music.
Fifth gen.
Yeah.
Fifth gen is slowly turning chill.
Yeah.
And I think this person hates that. Even though some Rai shit is a little
well,
noisy.
I don't know when they wrote
Zodiac,
this. I don't know if Talk Sexy was out by the time they made
fair
this
enough.
Or not.
They should check out 8turn.
Mm-hmm.
8turn's good.
8turn.
I like 8turn.
But this person just really likes noise music, and that's not what these groups are. Like, none of these groups make noise music, and that's all it is.
Also, just because you don't make noise and assault the senses doesn't mean you don't have flavor. Mm-hmm. All
yeah,
these
exactly.
groups are extremely distinct from each other,
oh,
which is more
absolutely.
Than I can say for the last couple of years of boy group releases,
yeah.
where they've sounded very similar. All these boys sound very different
yeah.
from each other.
They seem to be mad that K-pop styling isn't as, like, no, like obnoxious
outlandish.
And jarring as it used to be. And, like, I honestly prefer that it's not that, because I feel like when K-pop was like that, it was seen as a joke for essentially everybody. And now that they look normal, it's easier to just watch them in concert
and also,
music, so.
Also, maybe it's just because I come from the era of the, let's throw them in a thrift shop and we'll come collect them. Right. Let's throw them in a thrift shop and we'll collect them later. Yeah. Just put as many pieces of clothing on a person as possible. But I've thought that the last, like, two eras of K-pop, I think fourth and fifth gen,
like they
were kind of very normal. Exactly. Yeah,
they haven't gone too crazy
stylish. If they're in noise music and they're looking at like Stray Kids and ATEEZ, like they look weird.
I guess
and
NCT, looking at
they look weird at some point. They got weird
NCT
ass styling.
Like clowns.
NCT like, are put in literal trash bags at points in time. Like their styling is not good.
Fair enough. Again, I think they're just looking ridiculous. For more like. Leather,
yes,
pleather? Yeah, pretty
more
much.
Pleather, maybe. More. Everyone pleather needs to have a different color hair, like it's that type of vibe that they want. Also, yeah, this exactly. person's and idea of a chill, easygoing debut song is 7 Cents by NCTU. So that's where the baseline is for them.
That's totally not just anxiety inducing and paranoia, it's, which is the point,
right?
I think this person should check out 8turn.
Check out 8turn.
That's let's be a little positive and give some recommendations. Mm-hmm. And that's not just because I think 8turn is a way better idea than Zygerde.
It's weird because I'm like, I was thinking like Zodiac is not like the most chill, but I was like, well, Zodiac sounds like a second gen K-pop group, so that's probably why
Zodiac
they don't
sounds
like
adults.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you, man.
Mm-hmm. It sucks that it's not K-pop. Current K-pop isn't noise music for you, I guess, is all I have to say.
The last one is. ATEEZ is being influenced by Icon since Kingdom, and it's a good thing.
Wrong.
Except this is the opposite
Wrong.
Of what
no,
we believe.
They
it's more so
close.
ATEEZ is being influenced by Stray Kids,
so
and it's a
close.
Bad thing.
They're
I do
so
not
close.
See
were,
the Icon influence
were,
period in this
so
ever.
Close.
And nowhere
to being correct.
So
nowhere.
Close to getting it, and then not at all getting it at all. It's so funny.
They missed the mark fully, but they were close.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's so confusing because you read this post and it's like, did we watch the same show? Because they keep going on about this ATEEZ Icon friendship that was on the show. And I'm like, no. Because the big friendship
that didn't
of
happen.
Kingdom was Icon and SF9. And
yes.
ATEEZ, I know ATEEZ and Icon switched songs in that one round, but that was it, really.
Yes.
They really did not interact too much outside of that.
And, like, 100% to be honest, I don't think ATEEZ understood that song.
No. They did. They turned it into a Block B song for some reason. Very confusing.
And here's the thing. I know that people will come back at me that Icon also didn't understand the song. I think they understood the song more. They didn't want to do it how Icon did it, so they just made the movie Inception.
Yeah. So it's like, sure.
Which, again, is a choice. It's a more like it's a more logical like jumps than making Icon Block B.
Yes, very confusing.
More logical, which is just saying.
I also don't understand how you see this show where ATEEZ did multiple collaborations with Stray Kids, and see ATEEZ's current music after Kingdom and go, yeah, that sounds like Icon. And not the group that they collaborated with multiple times and clearly had more interactions with on the show.
I know they had a comeback since the song, but I can't remember what it's called. So can we compare S-Class to Bouncy to, God, what's it called? First Love? Is that the Icon song?
Uh-huh.
To First Love?
Oh, so then the ATEEZ one, I think it's called My Ego or something like that.
Or My Ego or whatever the... Same
what is
vibe.
The name of that
same song?
I know it's called Crazy Form. I was like, I know My Ego is in the lyrics. It's called Crazy Form.
All right. Oh, no. And I think
the Stray
Kids did La 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 La. Sure.
Yeah.
They had another. So La 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 to Crazy Form to First Love.
Yes.
Tell me which of these two songs sound similar.
You know, if let's
just say
what is crazy about La 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 and Crazy Form specifically. They literally need to switch songs because La 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 is an ATEEZ song and
it's
Crazy
an
Form
song.
Is a Stray Kids song.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
it's
and
oh
Icon's over here off in the corner doing whatever the fuck they want.
And like, here's the thing. Would they be good Icon and Stray Kids songs? No.
No.
But would they fit better?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, Stray Kids even, aren't they pirates in that video?
I don't know. I don't know
it's
if they're pirates,
piratey.
But they're very ATEEZ. Like, you listen
no,
to that song and you hear the ATEEZ in it.
No, they're dressed like pirates in this.
Oh, man.
There's a pirate ship
oh,
in
they
this.
Are pirates. That
oh,
is,
shit.
They're really ATEEZ in there.
They went full 80s here.
I'm going full 80s.
And then you have fucking Icon in the corner.
Yeah.
Just thriving. With, like, a cute little song about, you know, being in love.
I know. It's, like, insane that you see those two groups together, and you look all the way over to the left, and you see Icon, and we're like, that's clearly where this influence is coming from.
Icon's out here doing their song, You.
Yep.
And just just living their best lives. Ah, Bobby's a father.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, no. 80s.
Yep.
I wish that 80s was influenced by Icon.
Right, it would be better. It would be better if 80s took after Icon more than they did Stray Kids.
Yeah.
But, even going to, because this person brings up, like, certain Icon songs, like, specifically Bobby. Like, they bring up You Mad.
Right.
They bring up him and B.I. and Anthem.
Right.
And I'm like, where did that come in? Where is it in the 80s music?
Yeah.
I wish it was Icon.
I know. And even when they're talking about Bobby and B.I., it's like, that's such a different version of Icon. Like, that YG is early Icon than current Icon is.
Yeah. But, like, I'm even giving them the benefit of the doubt that, like, 80s went back and looked at old Icon.
Right. I can't this even see help. Old Icon in the recent 80s. Like, it doesn't make sense. Where does it make sense?
Like, Icon has always stayed true to themselves because they call them that they have street style. And I'm like, I agree with that. They feel chill. They feel like just like a chill group of frat boys.
Yeah.
And now they're just like adult frat boys that are starting to have families. It's great.
Yes.
They're growing up. And I'm like,
where?
They call it that they have the badassery of Icon.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that Icon was ever badass.
I think
Icon was just cool.
They're just cool. They're cool guys.
Like, I think Icon was just always cool guys that you want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was never intimidated by Icon. And I think that's, like, the hardest thing to do. Because, like, you can try to be intimidating, sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to just be, like, naturally cool.
Right, right.
And also, especially trying to be naturally cool while being sad boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other thing that, like, the mainstay of Icon that 80s never got.
Yeah.
80s never went sad boy.
No. They've never done sad boy. Their other concept is so much closer to what Stray Kids also does concept-wise, too. Which is, like, kind of weird. Like, kind of fun and a little bit weird.
I still don't know where we got this.
It's crazy how so close they are to getting it, and then it's how wrong it is.
I think you see more of an influence of Icon in, like, SF9.
Because,
they went a little bit more hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
They still went full chill, and I think SF9 just tried to be, like, cool dudes.
I know. It's so confusing. It's so confusing.
But, like, it's, like, Icon influence, but still full SF9.
Yeah.
What they think happened to 80s, which is Icon influence, but still full 80s. And I'm like, no.
Right. It's like, oh, man. We don't.
I hope SF9 and Icon still talk.
I hope they are, too. I hope they're friends.
I hope, like, one of them has met the baby.
I know. I hope Hwoyeong has met the baby specifically.
Yeah.
I feel like he might have. He made the friendship with Bobby on that show, so.
I know. Oh, be so good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the true friendship.
Yeah. Kingdom, Legendary War, truly a Roman Empire of mine. I think about this show far more often than any other person should.
We bring up this show like it happened yesterday.
Right? It's 2021. It's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years.
And I think about this show every week.
At some point, we're just like, but, like, what if we got another season? And the answer was no.
The answer to that was no.
Gosh.
Unfortunate.
I want it. I know. No, I kind of do.
I really would love another one, but I don't think there's enough groups to do it. There's not enough groups left.
I think we're getting to a point where we could now.
Maybe.
It's been so long.
We gotta give the Boys Planet groups a couple years, and maybe we can revisit this. Revisit Kingdom again.
Fair enough.
Yep. So that's been these Reddit unpopular opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of raced through them because we've already done them.
Yes, yes. Actually, I think this recording is longer than the first one somehow.
Probably.
It's fine. We went on different
tangents. It's fine. But yes, we are available on all major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have a YouTube channel where we post all of our episodes along with clip videos occasionally as well. And with that, we will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.